Good afternoon, Mr. Kambu. My name is Nonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. I'm co-chairing this subcommittee with the chairperson of Select Committee on Health and Social Services in the NCOP, Ms. Gillion. I will now hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves. Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Luyolo Mpiti, and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Gambo. My name is Sigile Masivo. I'm a member of this committee.
Molo Sihlalo, enkosi nakuwe Sihlalo wendlu, ngumbulelo Bhaga olilungu lale committee.
Mamkhobula. Good morning, Chairperson. Igama lam Sibongile Khawula, member leli komiti, ngikubingelele emhlonishwa Gambu, ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Honorable Chairs, and good afternoon, Mr. Gambu. My name is Theliswa Mgwema, the member of the committee. Thanks.
Ke a leboga modula stulo. Ntate Kambu, lebitso la ka ke Boitumelo Maluleke. Ke moleloko wa le komiti. Ke a leboga modula stulo.
Thanks, Chairperson. Ntate Kambu, na lebitso ke a le ke ntshabele. Ke seventh subcommittee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. The gentleman who's sitting next to Honorable Mpiti is Dr. Tembe, our legal person from Parliament. And then the two ladies who are sitting Ms. Nombula Zibra, our committee manager. Manager for committee that. No, because we are not managing the, on the committee. And then next to her, the lady sitting next to her is Ms. Nelisa Novatana, the one, our committee secretary. So the other chairperson is not physically here in our meeting, but she's on a visual platform. And then you have 45 minutes with us. Sometimes we exceed 45 minutes because we're doing all these introductions. And then honorable members will ask you questions, and then you have to respond to the questions, but also we'll make follow-ups even if the question was not asked by you, by us, any of the members. Any member can ask you a follow-up question. So you are allowed to express yourself in any language. We preferably use English, but you know, with all vernacular languages can be used where need be. The first question is, you must be free, relaxed, drink water. So that means you need to close the volume. Mute your
sorry. Technology.
Because now when it's equal. Why even now I can hear you? What? Sorry. mute your mic. Yeah. Chair, we are starting.
The volume, yeah. It was off the volume.
It was the volume.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So the first question is, tell us about yourself. Who are you? Where are you coming from? Why have you applied for this position? And why do you think you're a suitable candidate to be appointed to serve in the board of NYDA? You tell us everything about yourself. Even if you are not supporting your children, you must tell us. That is on the lighter note. Tell us about that. So the first question is about yourself. Tell us about yourself. Okay. Honorable Mpiti, Honorable Mastiko, Honorable Mkawula, Honorable Malek. Chair, do you want to ask a question? Honorable Papa? Okay, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity and a very good day to Mr. Gambo. Mr. Gambo, you have been involved with the NYDA for some time. You are currently the spokesperson of the NYDA. And so my question that I'd like to ask you, in your capacity as spokesperson, what would you say has been the shortcomings of the NYDA from your perspective as someone who is within the administration of the NYDA? And what exactly are you going to do practically to address those particular shortcomings? Thank you.
Maybe before you answer even that one, are you permanently employed or was this a contract? Oh, okay.
No, thank you, Chair, and thanks for the question. One of the shortcomings of the NYDA would relate mostly on the issue of access. Young people in most parts of the country still do not have access to NYDA offices. Indeed, the NYDA has dealt a great blow in a sense that says it has expanded its reach, ensuring that it finds presence through a district model within various areas in society. But the fact remains that is limited in terms of its budget. Therefore, it cannot create more offices because the more you create offices, the more you demand supply of services from young people. That is one of the shortcomings that the NYDA has had. But I think that in dealing with the outreach issue of the NYDA, one would necessarily look at the fact that the NYDA in the past financial year has been purchasing outreach vehicles in terms of young people accessing the NYDA. Because if you look at the district model of the NYDA, access that young people get in terms of the offices of the NYDA is not a fully fledged complement of the NYDA products and services. If we have a district office, it is literally an intermediary where young people can still just get information and not be able to attend to other issues. Secondary is that I believe that we need also to look into the annual performance plan of the NYDA, but also ensure that we get to a point where we say the committee was correct in saying that the APP of the NYDA is not aligned to its strategy. Particularly because sometimes the issue is about numbers and not the impact. We therefore need to move away from saying that we need to always get clean audits, but the impact on the ground is lesser. So I think it's one of of the shortcomings of the agency, that in terms of governance, we would focus on the audit outcomes, but not necessarily the impact. And I think programmatically, what do you need to do as the agents? You need a situation where young people are in touch with the agents. Young people are saying that, for example, the image deficit of the NYDA has not changed, because young people are still complaining that the turnaround time for them to receive grants of the NYDA takes a long time. You get young people that are saying they have applied for a grant for the past 2 years, they have not received it. Those who have successfully received their grant, they need to get an aftercare service. So programmatically, we need a situation and be able to monitor the success of that entity. I thank you, Chair.
When you're saying the NYDA strategic plan and APP and the audit that is done, remember, the Auditor General is the one who does the audit of all government departments and entities. You know, measuring impact, it's one of the things that as members of Parliament we always raise. But according to them, the audit, financial statements, they don't audit whether there's whatever program that has been implemented, it has made impact to the beneficiaries or whatsoever. So in that case, you think for NYDA to measure its impact on the programs that they have in their APP and their strategic plan, what needs to be done?
Thank you, Chair, for the question. The reality is that in our society or the country, youth development is quite sporadic. It's not in a structured manner. The NYDA had at some point partnered with the University of Johannesburg to come up with what is called the YDISA, Youth Development Institute of South Africa. It was an entity research outcomes or research report on the status of youth in the country. That was since dissolved, because if you look at the investment of the entity, if you look at cooperative governance, the agency was spending, per quarter, they spend R1 million, but the results thereof were not there. So what I'm trying to say is that if I make it into the board, one of the critical things that we need to do is to ensure that we revive the research capacity of the agents, because you cannot move to youth development without scientific basis. You need a situation where you say what works, what doesn't work, and how do you change it? And that could only be guaranteed through a research process. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for your responses, Mr. Gambo. I want to address issues of good governance as a critical issue for any board to manage. The issue of management of public finances or the public purse. How would you ensure good governance in the National Youth Development Agency as a board member if appointed?
Thank you very much, Chair. The issue of good governance speaks to the issue of ethical leadership and effectiveness in the situation. You would note that Section 51 of the PFMA speaks to say that the NYDA board becomes the executive authority of the agency. And amongst other things, it needs to put systems in place. It needs to have strong internal controls on how the budget is being utilized. But most importantly, if you look at the issue that we have been affected now by COVID-19, in terms of cooperative governance, there's an issue that we need to address about the risk. But if you address the matter of risk, you not only look at the disadvantages of COVID-19, but would rather also look at the opportunities that are presented by the pandemic itself. For example, if you look at what the pandemic has done, particularly to small businesses, it has changed their operations, but also impacted on their supply chain management. In a sense that says, even the NYDA itself, we cannot now go face-to-face with young people. The NYDA now needs to operate remotely, online, but it's not only the NYDA, and various sectors are also impacted. So if you are doing monitoring or good governance practices, particularly when you look into the independence of the board. You need to ensure that at the end of the day, you've got various skills within the board that can complement the work that the agency is doing. Thank you very much.
I wanted to ask you something, but it's fine.
Yeah,
you can.
Thanks, Jim. My follow-up is on the question that Honorable Masego has asked on good governance. I think it's a very clear response that you have given. I just want to go back to the history of you as the spokesperson and sort of get some clarity. In 2017, you defended a U.S. trip by the NYDA board to the United States, amongst a lot of pleas from young people saying the trip was a waste of money of the NYDA and could have been redirected better. Can you maybe give clarity to that and how it relates to good governance as an example? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the question. The NYDA does not exist in isolation of the international balance of forces. The same way that the South African Republic is part and parcel of the BRICS group of countries. You would know that among the many things and the formulation of the NYDA itself is the fact that it's promulgated through the African Youth Charter. And that tells you that there should be a way that youth development, as it's addressed by the NYDA, also speaks to the international work that the NYDA does. For example, if we have BRICS coming up with a developmental bank, we need to understand, as the agency of young people, as to how will that bank benefit young people. So the trip that was undergone by the executive chairperson and the CEO at the time, it had to deal with what I've raised prior, the issue about investment. You would know that the budget of the NYDA, upon receiving 5 clean audits, has not really moved an inch. It is still below 400 million rand. The last time the budget was 477 million, it was because the NYDA was able to get funding from donors, which speaks about the role of other role players in terms of youth development. Because the position of the NYDA, which still remains, is that the NYDA and youth development in particular, it's not actually a situation where we must work together. That's why you have a monitoring tool in terms of the integrated youth development strategy. So it is important that the NYDA engages international work and ensures that it becomes part of the UN Youth Parliament, the Africa-China relationship. Young people must be able to work together. If you look at the procurement of PPEs now, a lot of them had been gotten from countries like China. But the reality of the matter is that where do we locate young people in that space? Because young people are able as well to procure such PPEs. But then how do they relate in terms of youth development? So I believe that it was not a waste that the agency at the time went into a trip that seeks to promote youth development, because the NYDA does not exist in isolation of other factors. Thank you, Chair.
Is the NYDA participating in SADC?
Thank you, Chair. Through various committees, it does participate. You would remember that DECO itself, it does also have a program on young youth diplomats or young diplomats, wherein we are able to send or train young people on international issues. We do have trainings that we normally host with them to teach them about diplomacy. So it's important that SADC becomes a critical role player. And I do say that it does participate through the program of the International Relations and Cooperation Department.
Yeah, because I wanted to check if with the deployment of ambassadors and when consulate how do they call them? Consulate general. Yeah. Whether you have influenced some time for young people to be deployed there.
Okay, the level of influence on the deployment of commissioners or consul generals, I believe that it's a process quite far from the agency itself. But I think that what the NYDA does, in particular around the question of international affairs, is to actually speak to the policy positions that are brought. For example, I raised an issue about the development bank. There is a process that says the youth accord that speaks about the 30% set aside. If we are to trade within the sided region, we need to also speak to how young people benefit in that space. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gambo. The next honorable member, Mam Kaula, I think.
Thank you, Chair. Sibonga, Mhlonishwa Ugambo. Khona nginenkinga yokuthi kaninabe uyiphathi and phasela kwi-board uyi-spokesperson yakhona. Kodwa kangisho ukuthi ngikubeka icala. Lana e-South Africa mhlambe niyabona ukuthi i-youth eningi yonke ayisebenzi. Nesebenzayo isebenza under agent. Abakwazi ukuthi baqashwe ngokuphelele, kugcwele kakhulu amathenda. La mathenda kuyiwona wona kwawona agcina ubona ukuthi intsha la eSouth Africa yayicindezela ngoba ukuba wekho la mathenda nalama agent ukuthi i-agent mangikhuluma ngokuthi wena umqashi kodwa angizi mina direct kuwena. Ngizoqasho wena kunomigriman lozithatha wena mhlawumbe kufana ungelanga uholele 25 rand uzothola uzokunikeza abantu malini 10 rand because oba ngixakile ngizosebenza nalapha akuyona i-permanent job ngoba ngeke ngikwazi even ukovula i-akhawunti yokuthi ngithenge ukugqoka. Ngifuna ukubuza-ke ukuthi wena ma ngabe kungenzeka ungene kule bhodi excuse me ungakwazi yini ukuya ku-government uyohlala phansi ufike uthi government sinesibalo esingaka se-youth yala e-South Africa sabantu besifazane bala e-South Africa sabantu abakhubazekile bala e-South Africa abangasebenzi ngenxa yamathenda ngenxa yama-agent. Why government ungake uyibuyisele eceleni lezi zinto umuntu aqashe permanent ahole imali yakhe ngale kokuthi imali yakhe kube khona le migriman kanjalo nakule nto zama-project la bantu abangena phakathi uthole ukuthi mina ngiyakwazi ukulima kufanele kodwa ukuthi uma ngabe into ngiyemake ngiyisemakethe kufanele kuze futhi yona leni i-agent ezokwazi ukuthi ingene mhlawumbe mina ikabishi lami bengizofanele ngithi 15 rand sekuzothiwa ngilidayise ngo-5 rand ukuthi yini ongayenza ukuthi ngempela uhambe hlalisane phansi no-government ukuthi government yes niyenzile le nto kodwa manje nalasilimala khona singabantu bala e-South Africa sibone nabantu bakithi bekwazi ukuthi bathathe impahla la mkhiqizo wabo abawenza bakwazi bayusephesheni ngoba if ukhuluma ngamachina amachina akasizi muntu ikunoma siza amachina mntanami ayabaxhaphaza abantu baki bakhe abaqashi ngisho ukubaqasha even ifenisha ngabe yenziwa la e-South Africa ngiyaxakeka uma uthi nawe ubukhona la kusakhuluma ukuthi ifenisha funa ngabe yenziwa la i-youth kale bekukhona le nto engisho ey'koleni bekufundiswa khona o-craft worker ma-woodwork yonke into imisebenzi yonke eniyibonayo la iyouth yala e-South Africa iyakwazi ukuyenza noma abantu bala e-South Africa kodwa manje ngenxa yokuthi la e-South Africa sinale nkinga esilimazayo mntanami ukuthi funeka yonke into engena la e-South Africa ube yangaphandle thina silowo njalo sakhamisa sibukele bona yini ozosisiza thina-ke masikufaka le bhodi ukulwisana nalesi sihlava ngoba le nto ilimaza iyouth iyouth yakithi ingene ey'dakamizweni nje ingenxa yokuthi imisebenzi ayinayo ifundile ayifundile umhlaba ukhona balekelele sibone ukuthi namba abayalima ama-application abawafaka ama-cooperative nothi ayohlala lapha get kudwa wesibanibani lawa wubona babo ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chair, for the question. Perhaps one must have omitted the fact that I've been in the student movement and I've led as the provincial chairperson of SASCO, which at the later time when I started working at the NYDA, I was part of NEHAU. I was the issue on restructuring, wherein the NYDA was trying to reduce its wage bill to cap it at the 35% that was regulated by the Treasury then. Part of the things that the trade union movement was raising then within the space, it was the issue of outsourcing, Honorable Macaulay and Chair, that we need to insource, amongst other things, securities that work at the NYDA. If you go to the NYDA today, the people that are employed that provide security services within NYDA branches are insourced. Second to that, we do have a position around the issue of labor brokers, both as an agency, because we do not use labor brokers when we want to employ. And I think that the government of South Africa must be applauded to have come with a Ministry of Employment and Labor so that we deal directly with the issues of ensuring that we give young people space. You would know that the NYDA has a jobs database, which it is somehow a duplication of what the Employment and Labor is doing in ensuring that young people are absorbed into the workspaces. So I believe that we need to look into it and revisit the fact that young people need to be in jobs. Therefore, we need to look at labor brokers in another way. Say that we do have a youth employment service that can be able to get young people into a 12-month program to get experience that they need to get jobs. But also another thing that we must mention is that young people not only want to be workers, they also want to create work on themselves, and therefore we need to empower them to become entrepreneurs. So we need a multifaceted approach on how we approach the issue of access to jobs and ensuring that young people get the necessary skills in the development of our country. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kambu. Mam Joy?
Thank you, Chair. What's one more on the bat? Why can over organization over Miracle Ranch? And if you are appointed or you are given a chance to be a board member of this agency, what is it that you can do to solve a conflict if it arises? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Part of the King IV Code speaks and inclusivity. And I think in most workplaces, conflict arises when other players feel that they are being marginalized from the process. I've just given an example about the existence of a trade union within the workspace, the NYDA. If they are not brought on board around the issues of performance, they are not in terms of compensation, there is going to be an issue. You would remember that there was a time when the NYDA had a question around the executive remuneration. And that means we had to call in the trade union movement and explain as to how do you arrive at a determination on what they must get and who must get what. Look at COVID-19. You would realize that part of the decisions that boards must have made is to ensure that they get salary cuts, particularly from the executive. But you cannot just slash someone's salary without consultation. And I think it's important as we address conflict within the workspace to constantly consult with our stakeholders and be able to ensure that we teach them about the vision, the strategy, and the mission of the agency that we want to do so that they are able to feel that they are role players and also part and parcel of the process of youth development. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Kambu. Got one question? Zangane? And that is Avelin.
Chair Regam. I was charging at the same time. It was one of the
ones.
Regambo. The NYDA. It's a Schedule 3A public entity.
entity within the PFMA. Kebato Cheka, how will the Public Finance Management Act apply to the NYDA? What role will the Board of Directors play in terms of the PFMA within the NYDA if I to be appointed as a board member?
Thanks, Chair, for the question. Earlier I indicated that part of the work of the board is to ensure that resources of the organizations are managed properly. And I've mentioned the section of the PFMA that actually speaks to that. I want to reiterate and say that one of the things that the board must do, it is to ensure that it arrests the question of assets within the agents. In the board that I'm serving in my other role, there was a time someone decided they need to write off debt, but also assets of the entity without the approval of the board. I can make an example by the NYDA itself. When the NYDA had to cap salaries at 35%, part of the sacrifice it made, it was to move its office from where it was based in Midrand to Woodmead to ensure that it has a savings of about 10 million a year because of the rental money that we are using. So what happened is that the agency at the time had to dispose of some assets. If you go to an NYDA office now, no one is afforded a personal space. We work at an open plan so that we save costs, because then you had people that had their own offices. So the board had to sit and say, which assets are we going to write off? Because you can't have a lot of furniture and less of individuals, so you'd rather sell off that asset. So ensuring that we implement the PFMA, we must put systems that deal with asset management and control. But important, the internal audit function is quite important when ensuring that we implement the PFMA. You need strong internal control mechanisms. I doubt that the NYDA would be receiving clean audits if it did not have strong internal control mechanisms. And I think a lot of organizations, particularly municipalities, they've got weak internal control. That's why you find that the AG always red flags on a majority of municipalities is the fact that the internal control systems and the auditing function is weak, or is that it's weakest. But we need just to school members of the board on their role and responsibility around the implementation of the PFMA. It needs to be a Bible, particularly around the question of cooperative government. Thanks, Chief.
Sikuzile. Any question? Babu Baka?
Ngosi Sihlalo. I think that Msakazi, you uyayibeka kakuhle le nto ngolu hlobo uyibona ngalo nendlela ocinga ukuba makwenzeke ngayo ukubheka phambili. But I think what we want to take now from what you say in a nutshell is how do you then direct NYDA towards ensuring that it becomes a direct and a return on investment that is made by the government for the benefit of the young South Africans, given the fact that most South Africans, the young ones now, are unemployed and they are looking up at the government to come up with means of trying to curb what they are confronted with. So in a nutshell, what would you say is what needs to be done by the government for the young people directly to benefit out of it?
Thanks, Chair. My bone of contention is largely about the integrated youth development strategy. If you look at how youth development exists in provinces, you find in KZN the premier allocates 3 million to set aside for youth development. You go to Northern Cape, you find 1 million rand. You go to the Eastern Cape, you find that there's an Iskalo fund worth about 50 million. That tells you that there's no seamless way of doing youth development. Youth directorates within those departments are not really accountable to anyone else. If you arrive in the province like the Northwest Province, a program that they pursue is quite different from what the NYDA is pursuing. So one of the things that should be done is the coordination and integration of ensuring that youth development is, because the agency itself exists to have a uniform approach on youth development, and that has not been achieved. On the issue of return on investment, we can look at how do we absorb the young graduates. Can we really say that it is fair for young people to get into a system for 6 months while they are learning, the internship is finished? Perhaps as part of ensuring that we employ young people, let's expand the time. Why would we have the youth employment service contracting them for 12 months and they have an internship for 6 months? Then it tells you that there is no return on investment. While you are still investing in a graduate as a unit, the graduate goes. Can you really account for the experience that that particular person has? In advancing what the work of government has been, you have the NDP. The NDP speaks, it has targets on where we must be at 2030. But the reality of the matter is that how do we then monitor the implementation of the NDP itself? There's many regulatory frameworks and legislative mandates that actually guide the NYDA. But can we really take to task those who are charged to execute? The functions of the NYDA, amongst other things, there's a responsibility to be able to institute an investigation. Let's deal with the issue of land, for example. Can we as the NYDA be able to take to task the Development Bank of South Africa and ask a critical question as to how far have they moved in ensuring that young people get funds? Because as the NYDA, the funding is kept at 200,000, 100,000 for other processes. But if a young person is into agro-processing, the issues of food security, why then don't we increase the grant, particularly for that space? We can't discuss the land question and be able to say that young people must not benefit. At least give them more. But then how do we address that if the NYDA funds do not increase? How do we prove that a people of ensuring that they meet the standards declared by the PFMA and they ensure that every rent and cent is accounted for youth development in the country? Thank you.
Yeah, Honorable.
I have a follow-up on the issue of coordination of youth development across the government, from national down to local. And I'm sure that it speaks to the existence of youth development directorate in government departments as well as in local municipalities. How then does the National Youth Development Agency relate to those development directorates?
Thanks, Chair. One would start by saying the President in the State of the Nation address indicated to South Africans that a percentage of the national budget would go to youth development. And ideally, we cannot say how much is the percentage, and thus far, that's why it's important for us as we look at youth development. We must look at the closest sphere to the people, which is local government. Are young people participating in the IDP processes? Because the IDP framework is the one that guides development within municipalities. But if young people are not part and parcel in lawmaking processes within their own space, they are not going to get anywhere. We could have NYDA implementing youth development at a national level, but we need a coordinated approach to say that from the national, how does it move down? That's why perhaps the question on the review of the NYDA Act to say that why can't we have provincial boards? But beyond that, what then do we say about the youth development strategies of municipalities? Because they need to speak to young people that reside within that area. So I think that it's important that we tell the public and young people in particular that the NYDA has made sufficient ground. There's what is called the local government youth development framework that binds municipalities on how they must use their own youth
development. Mr. Kambu, if you might have a... Because some of they don't hear it sound.
It's unmuted.
It's unmuted. Because people are writing to me now. But there's no sound. Why are you guys sabotaging our school?
Jesus. You. After umsebenzi ongaka wale ndoda.
Ngicabanga ukuthi ukhulana into eziningi kanjani.
Jolo.
Ntithi kanti bongajikanga wena.
Yho.
They send it now. You see now. Also, there is thing that I'm not responding.
and then they kept bombarding me with the SMSs.
When I was there, let's go and cook for my man.
When I was right, but now they are restraining what we are doing. So it's the signal, the network signal, not our side. Because we are watching the same, we are watching the same feed from the office side.
So, say right, man. Mr. Gump, can you please go back to the answer we're responding to?
No, thank you very much, Chair. The answer relates to the coordination of youth development across all sectors, particularly to ensure that I started by mentioning that the President had said in the SONAT that a percentage of the national budget will be allocated to youth development across all sectors. But also we do not really know how much has been gone to youth development, because every department has a youth directorate that has a budget on its own. But I mentioned that the NYDA has led a process in collaboration with the South African Chamber of Commerce to have what is called the local government youth development framework, wherein it's aligning how we do youth development at the closest sphere of to the people, which is municipalities, wherein you ensure that the strategy speaks to the people within the area, but most important is aligned to the government priorities. Thanks.
They say it's horrible. Okay, I was checking them. Honorable Mkwaba.
Thanks, Chair. Mr. Gump, you have cited an article on the 7% equity inclusion of persons with disabilities in mainstreaming. And the PWD, who still live in extreme poverty, how are you going to close that gap so that the person with disabilities form part of the youth development agenda? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Recently, the NYDA hosted a webinar with young people from NSA, from DEF-SA, and DPSA itself. Part of the thing that I concur with what young people raised within that webinar, it is that they might have a disability, but they do have abilities. And the people in the Congress movement will always say, nothing for us without us. And I think we need issues of disability in the same way, that you cannot lead a process when you do not know how then it impacts on them. They raised issues around how COVID, for example, has also impacted them. For example, a young person who lives with a disability cannot say that does not live with a helper, because he cannot do certain things by himself. But we need to agree that it was only at the tenor when the chairperson was Mr. Yeshen Pillay that we found the board reflective of that makeup. And if you look at the functions of the NYDA, part of the issues is gender sensitivity and inclusivity, and also looking at the issue of disability. Like I was saying, in my employment of over 6 years in the NYDA, I only knew one person that had a partially sight, was in the Tshwane branch of the NYDA. That tells us how far we
check. You can ask the question.
Okay.
No.
Oh, okay. Fine. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Gamgam, for honoring our invitation. Is there anything that you want to ask us? Or any comments?
Thank you very much, Chair. My question is more about the education system. The pandemic has shown the unequal nature of our system, the public and the private schooling. My question to the committee is how, in ensuring that we've got a uniform approach, both from ECD until universities, in a sense that says we need equal opportunities for all. We need young people sitting for one examination. We need taken through the same curriculum. We don't need to advantage others against others. And that speaks to how the pandemic has impacted on the system itself. The pronouncement says others would be going to school and others would not. And generally, the syllabus would then have to overlap for the following year. So I want to understand the role of the committee in ensuring that we normalize equality within the education space. And it's a matter that I'm more passionate about, and that's why I'm serving in the TVET sector, to ensure that the treatment of students in the TVET sector is equal to the treatment of those who are in universities. That's my question, Chair. Thanks.
So of an animal farm. No, it's a good comment. I don't know whether honourable members they want to respond to that. Mpiti?
Thanks, Chair. I think it's an excellent question. And I must honestly say that I've really enjoyed the contributions that you've made in this interview. Very well thought out, practical, and clear. So I just want to say that I think there's clear disparities that exist within our educational framework and space. When you look at our curriculum, not only in schools, but when you look at what our young people are being taught in schools, it's not speaking directly to what we want our economy to be about in the next 10, 15, 20 years. And so it's not only about a complete curriculum overhaul, but I think as government or as the legislature, we need to ask very important questions about how do we streamline our educational curriculum to speak directly to the issues of our country, and how do we direct our education, particularly at a primary level, to start speaking directly to the challenges that we have as a country. Now, the disparities that exist between public and private schools is something that we cannot run away from. I think members of this committee need to ask serious questions of how do we streamline the public schooling system together with the private schooling system. And how do we ensure that young people who go to the public school system have infrastructure and have the amenities that all other young people in other schools have? And that is a question of quality. That is a question of ensuring that young people in schools are being given all the resources that is required, regardless of whether they are in the rural areas or the suburbs. There must be a streamlined approach by government to ensure that young people have the same opportunities throughout this country. So thank you for that comment, and I think many of us will make sure in the work that we do each and every day that we raise those issues in the committees that we sit in to be able to ensure that all young people in this country, whether it be in primary, secondary, or tertiary schooling systems, have equal opportunity. And that is the fight that we will continue with and stay with. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, that's it, Charlie.
Yes, Chairperson, just a comment from me to Ntate Gambo about that. You know, the we are the most unequal society. South African community is very unequal. The poor have gotten poorer over many years. That's why there was need for government to come up with the, systems, for instance, a net that will make sure that no one falls through to the bottom, to ensure that everybody in South Africa, all people don't go to bed on empty stomachs. That's why the Social Security Agency and many others. But the COVID has actually shown that the poor will always be left behind when there are crises like this. Those with bigger pockets are able to take their children to other schools that have facilities where you can have e-learning and or virtual learning. And this is not only happening in cities, it's also happening in villages. In my village in Skukuniland, in my constituency area, majority of people who live there qualifies to be on NSFAS in terms of education. I'll say more than 90% of people in my region qualifies for NSFAS. You don't even have to check with it. And that within that community, there is a school where children started it as early as 2017, that teachers were using virtual learning in schools in that village, within that poverty. And now what we're trying to do, what the school is trying to do, is how do we also bring other schools on board, you know. And that is where the roles of young people like, you know, in the NYDA, that those are some of the programs that they can take to say schools in the area of Ramasemola that has this school with this experience of using virtual learning. How do we, you know, ensure that we make resources available for other kids also to to enjoy that? And they are not even using sophisticated IT. They are using Android phones, the cheapest Android phones, less than 500 rand, the 300 rand phones. And the kids are able to connect and talk to their teachers from home. So it can be done. What it needs, we need drivers and people who are committed, like you are. And there was a lady here who appeared before us talking about children with disabilities. That's her passion. And that how do we make sure that children with disabilities are also given an opportunity to feel like other children? I'm just saying that your heart is in the right place. And if we were to be appointed in this board, we're looking forward to those kind of ideas of what we will do to close the gap between the poor schools and the rich schools. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kambu. Wish you good luck.